Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses in the government and commercial or corporate marketplace. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to nvbdc.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center, and in particular, it's after the impact program goes beyond awareness campaigns and state-of-the-art imaging to help veterans, first responders, and athletes. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. And finally, we want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, we want to welcome a new sponsor to the program, which is Veterans Business Outreach Center, which is located in Flint, Michigan, and covers Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. The center is ran and operated by veterans to help other veterans, National Guard, Reserve, spouses, expand and grow businesses. You can find more about them by going to vetbizcentral.org, 810-252-6200. And now on to our programs. Well, we're glad to have on Veterans Radio today, in our spotlight on the Association of Michigan Military Organizations, a representative from the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum. And before I bring Carla Montero in, I want to remind everybody that Veterans Radio America has a partnership with the Association of Michigan Military Organizations, or commonly known as AMMO, to bring you a quick look at a Michigan military organization that supports the history of military service here in the state of Michigan. And we encourage you to visit AMMO on Facebook and this particular organization by visiting the museum itself and following along on its social media. And kind of with that opening, Carla Montero, representative of the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you on and spotlight what you're doing up in the Bay City area. Talk to us about the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum.
Well, we are home to the USS Edson. She is a Vietnam-era Forrest Sherman-class destroyer. She actually served in the Navy for 30 years. She did 14 tours over to Vietnam. And after that, she served some time as a training and goodwill ship.
Well, this is, the primary feature of the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum is the opportunity to actually walk through and see what a naval destroyer is all about. Which I think for most people, you see something in the TVs or the movies, but you have no idea how these quarters are actually arranged and how small everything is. So tell us a little bit about how the USS Edson ended up in the Saginaw Bay area.
Well, back in the 50s and 60s and a little bit into the 70s, they actually used to build naval ships here in Bay City at Defoe Shipyard. And back in the late 90s, a group of people got together and decided that they wanted to showcase the shipbuilding history here in Bay City. At the time, there were no Defoe ships available, and as they went through the process of obtaining a ship, they weren't able to get a Defoe ship. And it just so happened with the timing that the Edson became available, and they decided to grab her up.
Well, and this is a real process to get something like a ship or a plane for a museum from the United States government. And in this instance, you had to get it from the United States Navy. It's not an easy thing to do, is it?
It is not. No, there is a whole bunch of steps you have to go through. The actual application that had to be filled out was 17 inches high. And this was back in the time before computers were a big thing. So it was all handwritten. They started the process in 1997, and we were awarded the ship in 2012. So it took quite a bit of time and effort. There's a lot of things that the Navy requires that you be able to show. You have to show you have sustainability. You have to have long-term property ownership or a long-term lease. You have to be able to show that you're going to be able to be financially stable, because the Navy is nice enough to donate the ship free of charge. But after that happens, there's no additional funding from the government. Everything comes out of your pocket.
And you somehow have to move the ship from wherever it is, ultimately here to the Bay City area.
Yes.
How does that happen? It's a decommissioned ship at that point.
Yes. As a ship is decommissioned, they are no longer operable. So that means that they are not able to come in under their own power. So you have to find a tow company, tugboats that will bring it in. In our case, the Edson was at the Philadelphia shipyard. So we had to bring her up along the East Coast in through the St. Lawrence Seaway. We had to negotiate with Canada, because we actually have a treaty with Canada that limits the ability for military vessels to be in the Great Lakes. So we had to deal with them and jump through their hoops as well as our own hoops. And it was roughly about $800,000 just for the tow fee to bring her in.
So everybody who's ever had their car towed, don't feel so bad. Think about think about towing a destroyer. So tell us a little bit about this destroyer in terms of its, so folks can visualize maybe its size and its crew when it was operable back in, this period from 1958 to 1988.
Sure, yeah. She is about 412 feet long. She has a 22-foot draft, a displacement of just over 2,800 tons. She had a crew of roughly right about 275 people during her peak time. However, as a training ship, she would sometimes have as many as 300 on her. She, as far as destroyers go, she's a medium-sized destroyer. There's some that are bigger, some that are smaller. She's an amazing sight to see. I tell my boss every day, the first time I pull into the driveway and don't have my breath taken away when I look at her will be the time I know it's time to move on.
Well,
and it's been 5 years and it hasn't happened yet. So.
Well, it's one of those ships with great lines. I mean, they just look, impressive.
Yeah, I tell you, as somebody who would have her coming after me, I definitely would not be standing there to wait to see what she could do. And she actually had that reputation in Vietnam. As often as she was over there, she earned a reputation where people would say, when you saw the Edson coming, you knew that either everything was going to be okay, or you better get the heck out of there, because she took no prisoners.
Talk to us about the guns that were on this destroyer and the job it was supposed to do when it showed up on station.
Well, destroyers aren't really meant to do sea combat. They go into areas and they go after things on land. She has three 5-inch gun mounts. And they have an accuracy range of about 13 miles. There's a story when the Etsin first went over to Vietnam. The gun mounts are numbered. 053 is the rear, 52 is the middle, and 51 is the forward one. The Afghan mount 53, when she first went over there, was firing rounds so fast they actually melted the gun barrel and had to go back in and have a new gun barrel put on.
Well, it's wonderful for the museum to have a ship with this reputation, and I love the motto, which was three guns, no waiting.
Yep.
I mean, this ship knew what its job was. The men on it knew what their job was, and they fired these big 5-inch guns repeatedly.
Yes, yes. They actually, I'll tell you, the 5.3 and the 5.1 were their favorite ones. 5.2 had a reputation for jamming and giving them trouble. And they were so good with 5.3 and 5.1 that there were times they didn't even bother using the 5.2. They didn't even need to.
You got one in spare if you needed it.
Yep. And at the time, during her main time in Vietnam, she also had four 3-inch guns on her as well, anti-aircraft guns. And those were removed just after the end of Vietnam.
As we spotlight the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum and its feature is the USS Edson, can you tell us how to visit the ship or follow along what's going on, Carla, if you could?
Sure. All of our information can be found on our website, which is www.ussedson.org. We also have two Facebook pages. You can search for Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum. That has most of our activities and events on it. And then the ship has a Facebook page as well, and that is USS Edson.
We certainly appreciate having the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum in the spotlight here for AMMO, and we encourage people to hit those websites and think about going and visiting the Edson and walking through and finding out what the how tight the quarters really were. But let me turn, if I may, Carla, to some additional questions I have about this. And it really starts with who was the ship named after?
The ship is named after Merritt Austin Edson. He was a Marine. And I always tell people, if you look up, the true Marine in the dictionary, you are going to find his picture. This man fought some amazing battles. He is most well known for a 3-day battle that he fought on the Guadalcanal, holding off possession of an airstrip against the Japanese. And that is where he earned his Medal of Honor. And that is what ultimately led to having a ship named after him.
And it's easy to sort of cross over this a little too quickly, but you're really right. This general, Merritt Austin Edson, was a real warrior, having fought some in World War I, but really his reputation made as a leader in World War II, where he received things like the Gold Star in lieu of a Second Navy Cross, and ultimately was awarded the Medal of Honor, which is the highest award that can be given for valor yes. in the United States by the President and Congress. So he's got a real wealth of history related to him. Can you talk a little bit about the history that at the museum you're trying to pass along to visitors and I'm sure school children who come through the USS Edson?
Our biggest thing is history. You learn about history in school and you learn the basics. You don't learn, kids don't have a face to put with the information because it happened so long ago for them. So our goal really is just to ensure we are big believers that if you forget about history, it's going to be repeated. And we are big believers that children need to know the battles that their grandparents and their great-grandparents fought in. My boss frequently tells a story one day on, it was Pearl Harbor Day, and we had just finished a ceremony, and he asked the kid, he says, "Well, do you know what day it is?" And the kid says, "Well, yeah, it's Tuesday." And he says, "Ouch. Well, do you know what happened today back in history?" And the kid said, "Well, didn't somebody like blow up a ship or something like that?" And my boss looks at his dad and he says, "Well, do you know what happened today?" And the guy says, "I don't have a clue."
Yeah, there's a real question as to whether or not we are spending our time appropriately in the history we're teaching, or if we're teaching it at all. And I do think that this type of hands-on museum where they get to walk through the ship probably cements more for them in that tour than they did in the entire American history class when it covered World War II.
And that's definitely our goal. You can walk along the ship and we can show you a piece of shrapnel that came through the forward gun mount and somewhat, not the piece of shrapnel we have, but some of the shrapnel from that same explosion, you know, injured one of the sailors. We can take you through along our, you know, along the side of the ship, and we can say, well, you know, you can see here where the ship was hit. You know, you can actually walk on the ship and you can see where the men served, and the ship still has the smell that the men smelled every day. And it puts you in their shoes and you can see what their lives were like.
That's why I go back to, most people don't realize how small the bunks are, how small the passageways are, where the head is, you know, how do you go up and down the ladder ways to move between the deck and the engine room, and all of that, you know, doesn't mean anything when you're teaching history class, but go do it yourself physically and you'll have a whole different feel.
Yeah, and you have kids nowadays who are so used to having a tablet or a phone in their hand. And we bring them on the ship and we show them the computer tubes. We show them the very first GPS system that the Navy used. And we explain that this ship didn't type in coordinates in a computer and get told where to go. They used charts on the stars and figured out how to get there. And you can just see the look that comes over the kids' faces. They are just blown away that that's what things used to be like.
We're talking to Carla Montero, who is with the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum, home of the USS Edson DD-946. And I know from talking to other ammo organizations, Carla, that this sort of passion for bringing history alive doesn't go on without a lot of volunteer help. Can you talk a little bit about your volunteers?
I have the best volunteers in the world. I'm the only paid employee here at the museum. Everybody else that is here is a volunteer. I have men who have worked, who served 20 plus 30 years in the military and got out and worked a career, and they are here 40 hours or more a week. I can't speak highly enough about my volunteers. They are the most amazing people in the world. And, you know, there's a saying that if you want to know what it's like to own a boat, just empty your bank account and throw it into the water. Yes. You magnify that by about a million, and that's what it's like to have a Navy ship. And these guys I can't say enough about them. We have a problem and they will sit down and they will brainstorm and they will figure it out. Even if they have no clue what they're doing, they figure it out and they fix it. They are here. I have some guys that are here 7 days a week. I have some guys that are here, you know, Monday through Friday from open to close. Guys that I can call and say, "Hey, we have an issue," and they're here in 5 minutes. It really, honestly and truly is a labor of love.
And as I say, you can't run a museum of this type, and certainly with a holding like a Navy ship. Because anybody who's ever been on ship knows all you do is paint it from one end to the other constantly.
And as soon as you get to one end, you start at the beginning. Yes.
Absolutely. Otherwise, it's going to all rust on you, and that doesn't do anybody any good. And it also holds water. When it rains, it holds water. The pumps have to work. The bilges have to work. So there's a lot of mechanical stuff as well. And do your volunteers also work with tour groups?
Our volunteers are kind of split. I have guys that just do labor, and I have guys that just do tours. And I have a couple that do both. But they are, you know, they really, if I call one of my tour guides and I say, hey, this is going on and it's labor, they're here. You know, they aren't picky.
Well, it's been about, 8 years now that the USS Edson has been dockside in Bay City as part of the museum. Can you tell us how it's been received by the community at large in the area?
Well, we are Bay City's best kept secret. We have been here, like you said, for 8 years, and I still have people that come in and say, how long has the ship been here? But we are... You know, we are well-liked. We have people that bring, every time they have visitors come, they bring them in. A good majority of our people come from around the state, but we're also lucky where we're located. We have a lot of international business, so we see a lot of international guests here as well. So, and we have a good relationship with a lot of the businesses in the area who are always willing to help us out with projects and provide expertise when our guys are a little under knowledgeable about something.
Well, you can't keep this going, I'll say, to keep this afloat, to use the appropriate pun, without financial resources. And has the community been supporting the museum in that regards as well?
Exactly. Yeah. We get, a lot of people don't realize, you know, that when a ship is decommissioned and donated, that's the extent of the help from the government. So there is absolutely zero government funding to almost any military museum. So everything that we make in the gift shop, admissions and stuff, that goes right back into the ship. And like I said, we have a few businesses that go above and beyond to make sure we have the help that we need. We have a national paint company that works with historic naval ships, so get a little assistance on our paint products. And my boss often says that all of his pants have holes in the knees because he's not afraid to beg.
And I was thought you were going to say flecks of gray in it, too.
Yes.
You have a really cool website, and if you hadn't brought that up, the gift shop, you got some great stuff in the gift shop. And that reminds me, I want you to talk about why there's this ghost tour issue with the USS Edson.
Well, I'll tell you the story of how we found our ghost. When the ship first came to Bay City, we did not have her open to the public. We let people on and they could walk around the outside, and that was the extent of it. Our guys were inside doing inventory, fixing things and whatnot, and they would go home, leave their stuff out because, you know, it wasn't going to be in anybody's way, and lock the ship up. And we had people that would stay the night on the ship or sleep on shore to keep watch. And they would come back in and their stuff would be moved. And they couldn't figure out what was going on. And this happened for quite a while. And finally, a paranormal group reached out and said, hey, we'd love to come investigate on your ship. And we're like, yes, please. And they brought a psychic, and she was able to get the name Paul and the number 9. So Mike Kegley, who is the president of the museum, did some research and discovered that Paul Stampinato was a caregiver of the ship when it was at the Intrepid Museum in New York. And he actually passed away on the ship. And he had always said when he passed away, it was going to be on the ship and he was going to stay with her forever. And he is definitely here.
Wow.
We have a few people that have seen him. We have people who have, had I get a lot of people that say, oh, I was in a certain area on the ship. And I never tell people where the areas are because I don't want to predispose people to having any experiences. But they'll be like, I was in a certain area of the ship and it felt like somebody tapped me on the shoulder or somebody tugged my hair. Or I felt like there was somebody like right behind me, but I turned around and there was nobody there. Personally, I've had a couple experiences. I've seen him a few times. One morning I was opening the ship up for the day and I went into, we call it officer's country, and that's where the staterooms are on the main level. And I was the first person on the ship. There was nobody on the ship in about 15 hours. And I could smell cologne really heavily. And I do have a couple volunteers that sometimes sneak down and don't let us know they're coming and will crash on the ship because they come from so far away. So I checked the rooms that they normally stayed in and I couldn't see any proof that they had been there. So I just yelled out, kind of heavy on the cologne this morning, Paul. And I heard a man laugh.
Well, if you're into naval history or maybe into paranormal, you want to check out the USS Edson. If you would, again, Carla, give us the address and how people can find out more and maybe set up a future tour.
Sure. If you want to just stop by and visit, we are at 1680 Martin Street in Bay City, Michigan. You can find us on Google Maps by typing in USS Edson because our address usually doesn't work with GPSs. You can also look us up on our website at ussedson.org. And you can search us up on Facebook under Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum or USS Edson.
Well, we want to thank you, Carla Montero, for taking some time today to talk to us about the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum and the USS Edson and sprinkling in a little ghost story. Carla, we really appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the ship.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.